We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
We are live on the RotoWire Fantasy Baseball Podcast brought to you by Rival Fantasy. Go to RivalFantasy.com or get the Rival Fantasy app. Today is Sunday, June 4th. My name is Chris Crawford. With me is my friend Ryan Boyer. And on today's episode, we're going to cover some individual risers and fallers from the weekend, players who showed something encouraging and some others who did not. And then we'll talk about some FAB and waiver wire targets. And this week's going to be a little different. We're going to help you look at some guys that shouldn't cost you a whole heck of a lot, if anything, in terms of your FAB bidding. We know you got a lot of money saved for some of these prospects and stuff, so that should help. But before they do that, let's jump into some headlines. And let's start, Ryan, with Andrew Abbott. Andrew Abbott is going to be making his major league debut on Monday. Now, it is worth pointing out that this is coming in the absence of Hunter Green, who is being pushed all the way back to Sunday, which is a little bit concerning. That's more than a week off for him with hip stiffness. But Abbott has been fantastic in the minor league, started in AA, moved up to AAA, and has been otherworldly. Are you jumping out to go get Andrew Abbott on your fantasy roster, Ryan?
Yeah, I think so. I think he's worth adding in pretty much any kind of format. I know he's replacing Hunter Green for the time being, but frankly, when I saw that the news of Abbott's promotion came prior to the news of Green.
Correct.
And I was kind of under the assumption that Graham Ashcraft was probably going to be demoted because he's been so terrible lately.
Yeah.
So, I mean, they can find room in that rotation, even if, even if Hunter Green is able to take his next turn, which hopefully, fingers crossed, he's able to, because he's actually been really, really good lately.
Fantastic. Yeah.
But Abbott leads the minor leagues in strikeouts. You and I have talked about him in the past. He's not the stuff as compared to like the other elite pitching prospects.
Right.
Not at the same level. Maybe gets by in a bit of deception. But you can't argue with the numbers. I mean, they're just stupid good. The home venue, not great.
Right.
I do think he's set up really well for his first start. The Brewers are quite literally, if you look at like WOBA, they're like the worst in baseball against left-handed pitching.
Yeah, that's great.
So I think they set him up pretty well for success in his first start. And I think he's probably going to get additional starts either way. But if he does pitch well Monday, which I think he probably will, I think he's definitely set up for additional starts. And, you know, we're going to talk about, as we mentioned, smaller FAB bids later. I think Abbott is probably going to – he's going to cost you more than that. Yeah. Just in scouting on the stat line, which we're all – you not as much as you being the minor league aficionado, such as you are.
Yeah.
People are going to see those numbers in the minors, and they're going to think, okay, this guy's the best pitching prospect in baseball. Yeah. He's not that. He's a very good prospect.
Yes.
I do think he's going to miss bats, and I'm excited to see what he can do against Milwaukee.
I am too, and it's worth pointing out that David Bell came out and did say this will not be a spot start for Abbott. This will be him staying in the rotation. I would guess that assuming Green comes back on Sunday as projected right now, that you do see Ashcraft get sent down, or maybe they make another type of roster move. But yeah, I'm excited. I think you hit the nail on the head a little bit with the deception. I would not expect the same kind of strikeout totals that he had in the minors as he does in the majors, but he doesn't have to be an effective starter. He can be still that six inning, 2-3 run baseball type of guy. And, you know, maybe he'll have some 7 and 8 strikeout starts as well. That can certainly be helpful. The Reds have been playing better, although they are on a bit of a losing streak. So a little more of a win chance than they would have had, say, a month ago. But, you know, it is time to go get him, I think, if you haven't. He's been on my imminent arrivals article. I'll promote that again every Wednesday for like the last 4 or 5 weeks. And it seemed like a little risky thing because I just wasn't sure when he was going to get that promotion. But yeah, he's got that promotion and I am excited to see him. Two names that you haven't seen in the last couple of games wanted to talk about real quick. Jose Altuve and Wander Franco. Now, Jose Altuve was pulled from did not play on Saturday with an oblique issue, is not playing again on Sunday with an oblique issue. Now, the Astros are not having him undergo an MRI, so this all sounds very precautionary, but it is a little bit of a worry. You know, the two injuries aren't related, but because he missed so much time with the thumb, you can't help but wonder a little bit about this just being an unfortunate year for Altuve, who's played pretty darn well. Wander Franco's played really well and unfortunately is dealing with a hamstring issue. Just something I think with both these guys, you got to be cognizant of. Your level of worry for either of these guys, Ryan, I'm guessing pretty low.
Low to, I don't know, moderate, maybe a little below that. Like it just seems when one of your star players hurts his oblique and you don't want to do imaging, that just seems strange to me.
It does.
Like, does it cost that much to put a guy in an MRI tube when you're a multi-billion dollar organization?
Seems very Oaklandish.
Yeah. He's making him pay for his soda as well. but yeah, a little worrisome, and the hamstring too, you know, those are both injuries that do have the tendency to linger.
Yes.
But I mean, at this point, we have to take the organizations at their word, I guess, that they're being super cautious. Maybe they can ease those guys back in with some DH duty for a bit. But sounds like they're going to avoid the injured list for the time being unless they suffer some sort of setback. So hopefully that's the case. One guy who did not avoid the injured list, Justin Steele.
Good segue.
Yes, thank you. Been working on those segues. They contend, the Cubs do, that this is a mild forearm strain.
I'm sorry to laugh. It's just such a ridiculous term. The mild forearm strain for a pitcher is such a ridiculous term, but please continue.
Yeah, I mean, so hopefully it's completely muscular in nature. No structural damage. That would be the implication, given that they kind of hinted that maybe he could just miss one start and they even avoid the injured list. They at least decided to take that precautionary step and put him on the IL, which kind of common sense says that you should be doing that.
Right.
You know, Steele is a guy who obviously having a fantastic season. Mm-hmm. I think most of us thought that he's probably going to have some regression coming. Mm-hmm. This could be a kind of an excuse to not outright bail on him, but you know, if there is a sell high window, that might be slammed shut now. Mm. I do think he's going to come back to earth to a certain degree. Still waiting for that control to regress in a negative way. He's throwing way more strikes than he just ever has. And not missing some bats, but not missing a ton. I don't know. Ben Brown, maybe? Could we get a look at Ben Brown? I know they're talking about putting Hayden Wesneski back in the rotation now.
Right.
He's a guy who we I mean, frankly, liked more than Justin Steele coming into the season, I think.
Sure. Yeah.
But really had a dreadful start. I don't think we can – that's a dice roll we can make right now on Hayden Wesneski. Am interested to see if he can bounce back. Ben Brown, as I mentioned, could be a candidate at some point if this Justin Steele thing lingers on. But sounds like for the time being, mild forearm strain, they're saying.
It's just such a ridiculous – look – it's partially a ridiculous term to me just because of what we've done for so long, Ryan, is written about mild or precautionary stuff with forearms and flexors. And it's always, without fail, 2 weeks later, a long-term injury. There is, I cannot remember anyone having a forearm strain and coming back in the minimum amount of time. Like, unless they're not being honest with what the injury is, a forearm strain is going to keep him out for a little while. They have said that Wesneki is going to be in the rotation, taking his spot at least for these next couple of turns. He's interesting. I get asked about Ben Brown quite a bit. I think he's a better real life starting pitcher than a fantasy one. I just don't see the stuff. Normally with those guys, I'd like to see at least one 65 grade or 70 pitch to really recommend as a rookie. Unless you're somebody like Andrew Abbott, who doesn't have that, but he has four well above average pitches and has an unbelievable track record now with missing bats. If he's starting against one of the weaker lineups, if you get a chance to face Colorado, not in Colorado, or if you get a chance to face Miami or something like that, sure, yeah, I'd consider Ben Brown. But I'm really kind of out. Wesneki, look, the slider looked great. Everything else just looked redacted. There are words I'm not allowed to say on this podcast for how bad, especially his fastball, has been against major league pitchers. Can guys with slider heavy arsenals succeed as a starter? Sure, but I would be very much streaming either of those options more than considering them set it and forget it guys. Speaking of the NL Central, which we've talked about an awful lot today, although Houston is not in the NL Central, it should be in the NL Central. I can go on a long rant for the view about whether or not those divisions should be changed, Ryan. But
I have some fond memories of those Astros Cardinals rivalry games back in the Killer Bees days of with the Astros.
Man, yeah. That Pujols shot is still like off of Brad Lidge is still like, even as someone who hates the Cardinals with all of the pet. No, I'm just kidding. But as someone who did not have a strong affinity for the Cardinals, that is one of my all time favorite baseball moments. Somebody asked a really interesting question here. Would you trade away Xander Bogaerts and pick up Ellie De La Cruz? So this is interesting because normally I would say absolutely not. I would suggest picking up Ellie De La Cruz, but not necessarily in return for Xander Bogaerts. But it's worth pointing out that Xander Bogaerts has been dealing with some injury stuff and has not looked great. Would you consider, obviously, picking up Ellie De La Cruz? Yes, 100%, a billion percent. Go get him now while you can. But would you maybe consider trading away Xander Bogaerts? Because this has not been very pretty as of late. And, you know, dealing with that injury stuff, and it sounds like it could be something that lingers for a little while.
Yeah, I mean, I think it just all depends on what kind of offers you get. I'm not certainly not against throwing some feelers out there. Am I right in remembering that he had kind of a hand issue, wrist issue last year with the Red Sox?
Correct.
Yes. Being downplayed right now, but you know, Bogaerts got off that amazing start, but not so much a late. The overall numbers still don't look bad, so maybe you can get what he's worth or maybe a little more. But I have a feeling, I mean, the people in your league are reading these injury blurbs as well. So,
yeah.
Would you take 80 cents on the dollar for Bogaerts? So that's a move I could maybe get on board with, depending on what your needs are, especially if you're able to pick up a potentially dynamite backup plan like Ellie De La Cruz. But yeah, it mostly depends on what kind of offers you get.
Okay, here's a fun one. What if someone offered you, and let's say you have a decent backup shortstop. Let's say you had someone of the J.P. Crawford ilk, you know, that type of thing, that you could kind of get away with playing him a little bit, who, by the way, is out with a knee injury, but it sounds like it's going to be a short-term thing. What if somebody offered you L.A. De La Cruz for Xander Bogaerts? Would you take it?
In a redraft, no.
Okay.
I would not.
I'd really consider it. I know that you're right. You're 100% right. And yet, I think I would consider it just because my FOMO, my fear of missing out. Now, maybe I'd ask for something else with Bogaerts. You know what I mean? Like,
De La Cruz little, plus. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. It's something like along those lines, just like to get a little bit of safety with it. But I'm just such a huge fan and I cannot wait to see this guy playing the major leagues. Did you see that he got first to third in 10.95 seconds the other day? Like, that's
no.
He's 6 foot five, Ryan. He's a flipping edge rusher playing shortstop that is getting around the left tackle in 10.95 seconds. This is just too much fun.
I also saw, by the way, that he did have zero for five with five strikeouts.
I did ask my friend Trent Rosecrans of The Athletic if what the exit velocities were on those strikeouts, because I like to joke about all the exit velocity that's been happening with that guy. But yeah, he's struck it. By the way, I'm not suggesting dropping Bogaerts for De La Cruz, as somebody in the chat just asked. No, do not drop Xander Bogaerts, but add De La Cruz and maybe look to trade Bogaerts, because I do wonder if this is going to be something that lingers. By the way, thank you, Enrique, who says, longtime fan, thanks for the entertainment. We really appreciate it. We've really enjoyed during these weekend shows. But to get into the Central, Willy Adames and Luis Arraez looks like they're both going to be coming back. It looks like Arraez is going to be back on Tuesday after dealing with a very severe hamstring strain. Has been out for over 2 months now. And Willy Adames, of course, an extremely scary thing, hanging over the dugout and got nailed in the head by a line drive by Brian Anderson. A scary moment for Adames and a very scary moment for Anderson, who looked like he was just going to burst into tears, and you can't blame him. That was a really unfortunate thing, but really nice that both are going to be in the lineup. Adames, I still think, has a lot of fantasy potential just because of the homers. You can't expect a ton of the average, but also gets a chance to hit in the middle or sometimes in that second spot in the lineup, a chance to drive in Christian Yelich, who is a flawed baseball player, but still gets on base and scores some runs. Arraez, a little more tricky. Kind of depends on where you are at situationally, I think. Not somebody you probably were hanging on to on your, if assuming you have limited injured list spots, and hopefully you do, because what kind of league is fun if you don't have limited injured list spots? But he's probably more of a wait and see for me. Would you agree with those, Ryan?
I think in leagues where you have middle and corner spots and, you know, fairly deep, I think he's worth picking up.
That's fair.
I'm mostly interested to see what the Brewers are going to do. I mean, is Bryce Turang going back to the minors?
A really good question.
He's been terrible.
Yeah.
Just on the whole, offensively, he's been terrible, but especially of late. Like one for his last 32. And I don't know if it was yesterday and today or Friday and Saturday. I don't know if they've, their lineup has come out yet or not, but I know he sat two straight games. So I think it points to Bryce Turang maybe getting a reset in the minors. They could put Owen Miller has been really good. Mm-hmm. They can put him at one of those two, between him and Luis Urias at second base, the other at third base, put Brian Anderson in right field, Willy Adames back at shortstop. I think that's probably the route they're going to go. I think Turang is – a reset would probably do him some good.
For sure. Still a really young player.
Yeah. He's been fine with the glove, but the bat – just hasn't been there yet. I do think he's going to still be pretty fantasy viable asset over the long haul, but certainly don't need to be holding out hope for him. I think he's in redrafts. That is, sure. I think he's probably headed back to the minors with this news.
Yeah, it would certainly make a lot of sense unless there's some sort of pitcher thing. By the way, Eric Lauer going to make a couple of rehab starts starting on Tuesday as well. So if you're in Nashville, get some really good chicken, and also get a chance to go watch some Major League Baseball players down there. I've never been to Nashville. That's actually pretty high on my city list.
I haven't either. I love that. I love that hot chicken, though, man.
Yeah, me too. Ooh. That hot chicken, and I got to tell you, I assumed you watched Master of None. That white barbecue sauce that they had in that episode, it wasn't even from a real company, but I know that white barbecue sauce now exists, and I definitely would like to put it inside of my gullet. Another real quick question before we get into the second half of the show. Our buddy Chad asked, does Johnny DeLuca see enough playing time to be worth the high fab? The talent is absolutely there for him to be an elite contributor, just maybe not this go around. So for those who missed it, Trace Thompson is heading to the injured list with an oblique strain, and the Dodgers, I almost said Mariners, maybe this was just wishful thinking, are going to select the contract of DeLuca to be added to the roster. Now, DeLuca wasn't exactly a super highly thought of prospect coming into the year, but he's been outstanding this season, made the move to AAA, now going to get a chance to be on that Dodgers roster. I think you're talking more long-term than short-term with DeLuca. The main thing is, I only think he's going to be playing against left-handers. I think he's probably going to be that center fielder with James Outman sitting out against lefties. You may get a chance to see him play some left with giving David Peralta a day off, or if JD Martinez needs a day off, you can put Peralta at designated hitter and put DeLuca. DeLuca could play all over the outfield. He's a fantastic athlete with a good throwing arm. I really like him in the long term. I think the Dodgers will carve out a role for him. But I think he's probably more of a 2024 play than a 2023 one, unless he goes out and just smashes and forces the issue. Because, look, if he can really play, David Peralta has not been good enough for him to absolutely earn all the playing time over him. So, yeah, I'd be looking to add him to the roster, but probably at like a 1 or 2% of my budget fab bid, something like that, and see what happens, knowing that if you drop him, it's not that big of a deal, and knowing that if he's really good, it could pay high dividends. Would you agree with that, Ryan?
Yeah, I think we're on the same page there. And I'll also add, James Outman, outside of the first few weeks, has been quite dreadful, too.
Yeah,
I don't think he's going to be
mistakes.
Yeah, I don't think he's going to be outright getting replaced at this point. But yeah, I think DeLuca right now just kind of slides into that Trace Thompson role. So more of a wait and see.
I'll be curious to see if DeLuca does well in that, what they do with Thompson, because speaking of players who have been bad, goodness gracious. And I know Trace Thompson adds some intrinsical value because he's considered one of the more popular guys in the clubhouse and all of that good stuff. But being popular doesn't excuse going over 37 or whatever he was not too long ago. Just not a good enough player to justify. So it'll be curious to see if DeLuca really performs well, just how much of a leash Thompson will have when he comes back from that oblique injury. So that covers most of the big weekend headlines. We're going to do our three up, three down from Saturday, and we will talk waiver targets. But first, let's take a quick commercial break.
We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/BlueWire. Just go to Indeed.com/BlueWire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/BlueWire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
The best way to learn a language? Immersion. Living where the language is spoken and using it every day. But if that's not in the cards this year, you can still learn a language the second best way. And that's with Babbel. Be a better you in 2024 with Babbel, the science-backed language learning app that actually works. Don't pay hundreds of dollars for private tutors or waste hours on apps that don't really help you speak the language. Babbel's quick 10-minute lessons are handcrafted by over 200 language experts and help you start speaking a new language in as little as 3 weeks. Babbel's designed by real people for real conversations. And their tips and tools are approachable, accessible, rooted in real-life situations, and delivered with conversation-based teaching so you're ready to practice what you've learned in the real world. Here's a special limited-time deal for our listeners. Right now, get up to 60% off your Babbel subscription at babbel.com/bluewire. That's 60% off at babbel.com/bluewire, spelled BABBEL.com/bluewire. Rules and restrictions apply.
Everyone is talking about magnesium. It's all you hear about. But why? What do we know about magnesium? Well, magnesium is the number one mineral that 75% of Americans are deficient in. If you are a woman over 35, magnesium will help you rediscover balance, energy, and vitality. Magnesium supports more than 300 enzymatic reactions in your body, including those involved in hormonal balance. From functional medicine doctors to mental well-being and female hormone experts, we all know that magnesium is the one mineral to improve all aspects of well-being and health. But which one? Magnesium Breakthrough from Bioptimizers, the trusted choice recommended by leading experts, with 7 best-absorbed forms of magnesium to ensure your body receives the support it needs for overall well-being. Go to bioptimizers.com/balance today and use code BALANCE10 for 10% off. Support your journey to wellness at bioptimizers.com/balance. Magnesium Breakthrough from Bioptimizers, your foundation to optimal health and vitality.
A new MLB season means a new type of fantasy baseball, and Rival Fantasy is the fantasy platform reinventing the way daily and weekly games are played. And they brought new games to the ballpark this year that fantasy players won't find anywhere else. Rival's fantasy games include Fantasy Bingo, head-to-head player challenges, and Fantasy Book, where users can select over-unders for 2 to 5 players. With games like this, daily fantasy has never been better. Now, right now, RotoWire listeners can get a $50 protected first play. That means if you win your first play, you get to keep your winnings. But if you lose your first entry, Rival Fantasy will fully refund you up to $50. Go to play.rivalfantasy.com/signup and use code RotoWireMLB at signup and deposit a minimum of $25 to get your first entry on Rival protected up to $50. Now's the time to step up to the plate and become a Rival today. Welcome to the arena. All right, let's go with that 3-up from Saturday. And Ryan, this is an interesting one to talk about, especially today, because Luis Arraez has been fantastic. And it's worth pointing out that Pablo Lopez, who we both, Drew and I, talked about quite nicely, has not necessarily been so great as of late. Maybe we need to restart talking about this trade, but like, just talk about how good Luis Arraez has been in 2023.
Yeah, I mean, 5 for 5, 5 Pretty RBI good. For 3 doubles. Huh. He's like 390 now, batting 390 going into Action Sunday. Mm-hmm. Problem is, like, he really has been an empty batting average. Like, yeah. I realize when you're talking about 390,
yeah,
it almost seems like an insult when you say empty batting average, and right. You have the potential to, like, there's more you can do with your roster as far as carrying guys that are average risks when you have a guy like Luis Arraez. But 1 home run, 1 stolen base. He's only scored 20 runs, even though he's been batting, you know, towards the top of that lineup. It's not a great total. On the other hand, like, he's just such a reliable source of batting average that, and not even just like reliable as in he's going to help you in that regard. Like, he's going to compete for batting titles, I think, year in and year out. Like, he just, absolutely. He's tailor-made to hit for average.
Yep.
He's not tailor-made to do much else. He's not a good defender. He doesn't have power. He doesn't have speed. So he's certainly a player with flaws, but like, that hit tool is just so good that he's going to be a great asset in fantasy, regardless if he's, you know, I mean, he wound up scoring like 80 runs last year. I think he can still hit that mark. So he's
sure
maybe not a total like 1 out of 5 category guy, but yeah, that average is just, it's so nice to have, isn't it?
Oh my gosh. Like, he's just kind of like a set it and forget, like the set it and forget it average guy. Like, you know, if you have somebody like that playing on your team, you are going to finish in the top half in average category. Like, you can, you, here's what he does. He makes it so that you can have Joey Gallo's on your team, that which we were going to talk about and just got pressed for time. But Gallo back on the injured list. It sounds like this hamstring thing is going to be a lingering issue. But you could have those guys who hit 190, 200, who give you homers, because you know that Arias is going to compensate for it. And that is
Kyle Schwarber.
I don't know how Kyle Schwarber. Oh my gosh, Kyle Schwarber right now. Hopefully he has another one of these second half swoons, because pretty big fantasy disappointment. But yeah, those type of guys who are bashers, and assuming you're not playing in an on-base percentage league, are more detriment than helper in a couple of categories for you. He's fun. He's really fun. And I think we need to revisit that trade every year or so, just to talk about, because I think the Marlins got a lot of flack for that one. And maybe, just maybe, they did better than people. Now, it's worth pointing out they gave up a couple prospects that we'll have to see how they do as well. But I think this is one that's going to be fun to revisit. It's it was definitely a challenge trade. And I think right now, I don't think if Miami's feeling too bad about it.
Yeah, I mean, that's one of those rare trades where it looks like everybody's going to be happy, probably.
Exactly. Yeah, exactly. And we don't like people being happy. So actually, it was a terrible trade. Just kidding. Wanted to talk about Jake Fraley. Jake Fraley had another really big game on Saturday in the loss to the Brewers. Goes 3-for-4 with a homer, draws a walk. He's only hitting 258, 348, 417. I guess I got to get over that being only. That's a well above average line now, Ryan. Baseball has changed ever so much. Went through some struggles, but he's been really solid for the most part since really the middle of May, maybe the early part of May, more like it. Has been a player that has shown flashes of brilliance in the past with both Seattle and a very small amount of time with the Yankees. I kind of like Fraley. I like the lineup. I like the fact that he's playing in that home park. Is he somebody you're considering a roster ad for if he's still available?
Oh, for sure. Yeah. 3 stolen bases yesterday too. On that.
Oh, I missed that part of it. That is also he's up to, a pretty good thing.
He's up to 11 stolen bases on the year.
Nice.
I think it's all about health with him. Like, he's really, he's not like a big power guy, but I think in that park, if he stays healthy, even losing some at bats against lefties, he's got 20 plus homer power and 20 plus steals potential as well. I think it's, especially if you have a league that's daily roster moves too, and you can kind of sub them out when they're facing lefties, maybe on when they're on the road and in tougher matchups, you have the potential to maximize that asset if you can kind of finesse the roster spots in that way. Fraley, I think it's mostly about health for him. He battled injuries for the most of first half last year, but then the second half he was healthy and he was awesome. So I think as long as he stays healthy, he's going to be quite valuable in a roto league. One guy who has been surprisingly valuable of late, Michael Lorenzen.
Yeah.
Another good start yesterday against the White Sox. Just gave up one run over, is it 6 innings? I can't remember exactly. And he's been, since the beginning of May, he had one bad start, I believe, against the Royals, and then he's been awesome otherwise. I don't think he's given up more than one earned run in any of his other starts other than that since the beginning of May. The schedule has been quite favorable. I believe his first start in May was against the Mets, which, I mean, on paper, you think that's a tough matchup, but their Mets aren't doing great offensively.
Nope, we'll talk about that in a sec.
Yeah, aside from that, maybe the White Sox are like the next most difficult matchup he's had. That's who he's faced his last two starts, by the way. I think he's given up a total of one earned run in those two starts. Lorenzen's a guy who's been like, I feel like he's always been kind of intriguing. He's got that Tyler Glasnow Greek god body huge guy. And yeah. And like, but it always kind of seems like he should be better than what he has been. I don't have a lot of faith that he's got any staying power here.
No.
Detroit's rotation has been really banged up. Really banged up. They're waiting for, you know, guys like Matt Manning and Tarek Skubal to come back. It's going to be a while, I think, for both of those guys. Casey Mize, I believe he's going to miss all of this year, or maybe outside shot of like September return from Tommy John.
Right.
So they're hurting in their rotation. They're going to have to lean on Lorenzen probably quite a bit, but I don't really see this really turning into anything sustainable. A streamer, maybe, but even that I think is kind of a push. I'm expecting him to crash back down to earth sooner rather than later.
Yeah, I would agree with that. It is worth pointing out, by the way, that Skubal did make his season debut for AA Erie. Yeah, I forget. There's so many minor league changes. How could I forget Erie, though? They've been with Detroit since your grandma met your granddaddy. I think Lorenzen's an interesting one. It's worth pointing out with Lorenzen that he was a two-way player in college, and it was kind of debated whether or not he was going to be a center fielder or a pitcher. So he's a little younger in terms of development than everybody else. And you have seen those flashes. Like you saw some with the Angels, you saw some with the Reds. Ultimately, I still think he would be better as a reliever. I think that stuff plays really well in short-term stuff. But he would definitely be just a streamer type of guy. Maybe ride the hot hand right now a little bit with Lorenzen, but it's probably not somebody that I'm looking to roster for the rest of the year. So this guy, let's talk about the three down. Unfortunately, we're going to be talking about one of my all-time favorite players. Francisco Lindor has just been awful as of late. 0-for-4 with 3 strikeouts, and heard the boo birds yesterday. Got a little bit of booing. It has not been pretty for him, especially since really the start of May. He has an 0.83 OPS in June. That's a sample of all of 3 games. But hit 227, 273, 412 in the month of May. That's pretty disappointing for a guy who is considered one of the better shortstops in baseball. I really like Francisco Lindor still, and I think long-term he's going to be just fine and more helper than herder. But man, oh man, this is bad, Ryan. And if you have him as your starting shortstop, you have to consider maybe considering making a move for a better, more consistent option.
I mean, I think unfortunately, like the investment that it takes to roster him, like I think you're just kind of stuck.
Yeah, yep. Fair.
And I think he'll come around. Like he's had droughts before. I mean, we don't have to tell Mets fans like the first, 3-4 months of his Mets career, he was quite bad. And he's never been a great, like average guy. So I don't know if we can fully count on that totally coming around, but I think he's still going to be a great power speed option. Fair. And I do think the Mets lineup, I mean, if it's not clicking, I think Uncle Steve is going to make some additions to that lineup and he's going to make sure that it gets clicking. So I think he's going to have the counting stats are going to be there for Lindor. Like I mentioned, average, not necessarily a guy you can count on being an asset in that regard. But I think he's probably going to ultimately be fine.
It's worth pointing out real quick on Lindor. I think one of the things that hurts him and kind of helps him from a fantasy thing is there's no depth behind him. Like, look, to go take you behind the scenes, Ryan and I update depth charts all the time, and we have Francisco Lindor all by himself in the shortstop position for the New York Mets because there's nobody on the roster who's capable of giving him a day off. He's going to have to get through this. And you know what? Sometimes players need a day off to kind of like get things out of their head. I don't think Francisco Lindor is anything close to a head case or anything like that. But you know what? Veteran players need days off. And I do wonder, that's one of the reasons why Ronnie Mauricio makes a lot of sense for me to have a Mets as a call-up, because Yes, he's played mostly second base. No, I'm not suggesting that he's going to be the starting shortstop anytime soon, but give him that day off. And also a chance for Mauricio to play some second base, can beat the DH as well. Real quick, I got this interesting question on Lorenzen. Lorenzen or Michaelis or Bryce Miller, who you got? It is worth pointing out that Bryce Miller just gave up a two spot in the first inning to Texas. Looked really bad against those New York Yankees, but also looked absolutely fantastic in every other start there. I'm still probably rostering Bryce Miller of those guys, but it is worth pointing out that there are concerns now with Bryce Miller based on what I've seen over these last five innings. Ryan?
Yeah, I agree. I think Miller's an easy call out of those three, but there were some, I don't know, red flags is the right way to describe it, but some things that pointed to some regression for him.
Right.
But of that
mainly group, not facing Oakland twice.
Yeah. Those what do you call them? The double A
Midland.
Double A Midland A's.
Who, as our buddy Chad points out, he gave up a five spot. Sandy Alcantara gave up a five spot to him. So Wow. Baseball is weird.
Yeah. Baseball is weird, that's for sure.
Yeah,
but Miller, as much as, you know, there might be some leveling off here a little bit, I think he's the clear, especially like a strikeouts perspective, that he's the clear option there. Mm-hmm. Michaelis wasn't great today. He had been really good lately prior to today. Maybe he's a little bit safer from like an ERA perspective, but I think Miller is still the pretty easy call of those three.
Yeah. Greb Ashcraft, Ryan, that's got to be a pretty easy down as well. Yeah.
Graham Ashcraft is down pretty bad, Chris. 10 earned runs yesterday.
That's not.
And bad. As I mentioned, like in the order of the news that happened, we saw Andrew Abbott was getting promoted.
Mm-hmm.
And before the Hunter Green news came out, I thought, okay, Graham Ashcraft, he needs to go back down to the minors. I still think there's a pretty decent chance that's going to happen. You know, Ashcraft, some buzz during spring training with him and early on in the season, he was working on a new pitch, getting more swings and misses. Like I can't remember exactly what the numbers were during spring training, but his strikeout to walk rate was just insanely good. And he got off to a great start from an ERA perspective, but that strikeout to walk rate did not carry over.
Nope.
So we talked about some red flags with Bryce Miller. I think there were red flags with Graham Ashcraft, even though he looked like a sell high guy at that point when he had the low ERA.
Sure.
Did not see the crash back to earth this hard for him. I'm still really intrigued by him. Like, I feel like, I mean, the guy throws a 99 mile per hour cutter and 99 mile per hour sinker. If you can throw those, a two seamer and a cutter at that kind of velocity, and they go different directions, like,
yeah,
you just need maybe just a little something else.
Yep.
And he could be a couple tweaks away from really figuring it out. But I mean, the numbers at this point in the majors overall, not great. He doesn't miss nearly as many bats as you would like to see from a guy who throws that hard. Does get a lot of ground balls, so that's a big plus, obviously. But yeah, Graham Ashcraft, obviously in fantasy, you can give him the boot. You should have already.
Yeah.
I'm still holding out hope that he could turn that corner. Maybe the light bulb goes off for him, but in 2023, I don't think so.
Yeah, I don't think so either. And I have to tell you, I think that Ashcraft is kind of the perfect relief candidate for me. I think his stuff can really play up there. And it's worth pointing out, one of the big issues I have with Ashcraft is he gets no extension on his pitches. Like, he's 6'2", but he's a big guy and he is not getting through the zone. And in fact, I just looked up to make sure that I'm not talking out of my, you know what, extensions in the bottom third percentile, which is not good, folks. Like, picking up the baseball real early and making starts in places like Great American Ballpark, you're not going to have a very good time. But with that cutter and with that fastball, it's easy for me to see him being like a Kenley Jansen type, like just throw that cutter nonstop max effort in relief, I think you can have some really good things and miss some bats. Speaking of missing bats in a bad way, Seth Brown went 0 for 4 with 4 strikeouts after going 0 for 3 in his last appearance with 3 strikeouts. So, yes, he has struck out in 7 of his last 7 at-bats. His line now is down to 162, 230, 324. Now, look, there are not a lot of fantasy-relevant players in Oakland to begin with, but I think some of us thought Brown might be one of those guys hitting near the top of the lineup or at the top of the lineup. Was actually fairly solid in 2022, but he's been a disaster, Ryan, and I don't think that you can even consider him for a roster spot at this point.
No, I don't think so. Yeah. The upside just isn't worth it.
No.
Given what we've seen of the downside.
Yeah.
Like you mentioned, he showed last year that he could be a fantasy relevant asset, mm-hmm. but like the supporting cast, as we know, is just so completely awful. Mm-hmm. Spent a lot of the time on the injured list this season and has just been absolutely dreadful since coming back. So
yeah.
I think it's okay to cut Seth Brown loose. Not holding out hope for him. Yeah. Move into these fab and waiver wire targets. Another Oakland A.
Hey, there we go. Nice little segment for you again.
Yeah. This guy actually has been quite good. JP Sears. Last 4 starts, ERA below 2.5, WHIP below 1. And you guessed it, he has 0 wins over that stretch. In fact, he has 0 wins on the season.
Yeah.
Because, yes, those double-A Midland A's not picking up too many W's this season. You might have heard. And Sears has had tough matchups over that stretch as well. I know he faced the Rangers, the Astros, I think maybe the Braves. He had one other – I think it was the Braves. Like, he's done well against good offenses. And this upcoming week, he's got a 2-start week, currently projected to face the Pirates and the aforementioned Milwaukee Brewers, who are absolutely dreadful against left-handed pitching.
Yes.
So I'm holding out hope, Chris. W number 1 on the season for JP Sears. He's going to get in the win column. I'm not predicting 2 wins. Maybe. I mean, I don't think the A's have gotten 2 wins in a week all season. I mean, they probably have, but it doesn't seem like it.
They beat Atlanta 2 times in a row this last week. They went for that sweep and just came up a little bit short.
Okay. Excuse me, Midland. I apologize.
Yeah. Worst baseball team I've ever seen for their level. It's not even close. But Sears has been good, and it's also fun to make puns with him because he's named after a retail store that still somehow exists. Like, I don't know how Sears still exists, and I apologize if they're a sponsor for the show. I don't think they are, but like, when's the last time you remember wanting to go to a Sears, Ryan, or actually going into a Sears?
Okay, so I got a Sears story for you.
Oh, please and thank you.
And by the way, this was not planned. Yeah. So in college, I had a whole bunch of buddies that actually worked at Sears, like selling like appliances. That's
okay.
They were in the appliance department. When I first moved to St. Louis, I needed a washer and dryer.
Okay.
I contacted one of my buddies who is still in Springfield, Missouri, where I went to college, asking what would be a good washer and dryer. He said, oh, I can ship you one. And you know what? We can make it to where it's damaged in being shipped, and you can get it for like, I can't remember if it was half price or whatever.
Nice.
So I got quite a discount on that washer and dryer, and that friend got fired.
Oh, no.
So that's my, it might not even have been related to that. Like, he was one of those guys that was like, I mean, he was probably up in the 20s and the no call, no show at that point.
Sure.
So that was probably the reason, the real reason why he got fired. So,
well, yeah. I would see, I need people to like me, but I also have a little bit of Schadenfreude in me. I'd be tempted to be like, yeah, I'm the reason that guy got fired. You know what I mean? And I would also be like, I'm the person who set him on the right path to go do whatever he does now. I'm sure he has a wonderful career and everything's going just great for him. Do not respond either way, because I don't want to know if that's not true. Speaking of that, in no way, this is a terrible segue. Let's talk about Braxton Garrett. Braxton Garrett, and I should point out, all of these fab waiver targets that we're talking about are guys that we're either not spending fab on, or they're going to be guys that are just like the bare minimum $1 or $2 type of guys. We talk a bunch about, like, you know, going to get Royce Lewis and going to get Ellie De La Cruz and all that stuff. And there's points to that. But you also might be looking at some guys, you know, if you're low on that fab budget that you want to get, and Sears makes sense for that. And I think Braxton Garrett makes sense for that as well. Pitched really well in his last start, five and a third innings of one run baseball, and struck out 7 against Colorado. Now, look, this is not a guy who's next exactly known for swing and miss stuff, but he struck out 8, 8, 3, not so great, and 7 in his last 4 outings, lowered his ERA to 4.22. You know, does give up some hard contact, but he's generally in the strike zone. 35-9 strikeout to walk ratio in May. Also had an ERA of 5.46, but that's mainly because of a disastrous start against the Braves, Atlanta, excuse me, where he gave up 14 hits and 11 runs. Kind of had to wear it a little bit, but since then he's been pretty solid, and he'd be something I'd be looking to pick up right around. If I can get him for free, great. If I have to spend a buck or two, so be it. Somebody who I think is worth the stream right now.
For sure. I mean, outside of that just absolutely dreadful Braves start, he's been really good.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think there's a, as far as you look at the Marlins rotation, I don't think Garrett, despite his lofty draft status, has that quite that upside, but I do think he can miss some bats, and I think he can be at least a streamer and perhaps a little bit more. Mm-hmm. So definitely, if you're talking about a $0 to $1 bid, I think he's a viable target. Another guy, shifting to relief here, Justin Lawrence has picked up saves in consecutive days for the Rockies. He did it in kind of bizarre fashion.
Yes.
He recorded, I think, just one out in a 7-2 game on Friday to pick up the save. Yes, that's possible.
Yeah, what a good stat that is.
And then Saturday, he gave up a run and I think like 2 hits and a walk. So not the smoothest of outings, but he did manage to record that save. Pierce Johnson has been dreadful.
Sure.
I thought Daniel Bard was probably going to be next in line. I mean, I know the strikeout to walk rate with Bard has not been good. But you know, his ERA, I believe, is below 1. So I thought maybe he could slide back into that closer role. I know it's kind of a delicate situation with him. He's was on the IL for anxiety, and he's had the issues with the yips.
Yeah.
So Lawrence has been really good this year. I mean, he's a guy who has really embraced that sweeper. And oh, by the way, he also can touch 100 miles per hour on the radar gun as well.
Yeah.
Not good control.
No.
Not on a good team. Not in a good home park. That's a lot of knots. But I do think he has some ability, and he certainly looks at the moment like the favorite for saves in Colorado. So if you can get him on the cheap right now, as in $0 or $1 fad bid, I think he's worth that.
Yeah. You know, he's kind of what he reminds me of is he is the poor man's, for lack of a better term, Andrés Muñoz, like a very similar profile in terms of embracing that slider. Unfortunately,
similar hair.
Yep. Both got the flow going on. Hopefully we see Muñoz back pretty soon, by the way. It's been, as a Seattle Mariner fan, as good as Justin Topaz and Gabe Spire have been, I'm looking forward to relying on Muñoz more than those guys. to be honest with you. So the two guys I want to recommend, I'm going to recommend a couple starting pitchers who were both awful last week in their first starts. And yet, here we go. I'm going to start with another Rocky, Dinelson Lamet. Lamet was pretty bad. He came back from the injured list and he gave up 5 runs in 3 innings, but he did get 4 strikeouts and he got 8 ground ball outs. And I talked to a bunch of scouts that said he looked fantastic during his rehab outings. Faced a tough Arizona team. We got to start taking Arizona seriously. They are a legitimate contender, it looks like. I believe tied for the best record in the National League right now, which, you know, got to give credit to our nemesis, Drubert Silva. He has been on the Diamondback bandwagon, and he's looked good so far. We are not that long removed from Lamet looking like one of the best young starters in baseball. And I realized that very little has gone right for him since, and he's going to be making home starts in Colorado. But when he's on the road, and if you are desperate for some starting pitching help and looking for some strikeouts, I really do think Lamet can be that guy. It's a little bit of a fear of FOMO for me, because if he really does pitch well as the scouts told me over these next few, you're not going to be able to get him for free. So I am recommending, Chris Crawford is telling you that if you have a deep enough bench, if you're playing in a league where you have like 5 to 10 guys and you don't have like some set it type of guys that just happen to be on your bench because you don't have any room, go get Dinelson Lamet. If he stinks for a couple of weeks, drop him, but I'm recommending him. And I'm also going to do the same for Brian Wu. Look, Brian Wu was terrible in his major league debut yesterday. He gave up 7 runs in 2 innings. You want to talk about being thrown into the fire for a first start, though, Ryan. To make that first start in Texas against maybe the best lineup in the American League, maybe the best lineup in baseball, certainly playing like that. Sarah Langs just tweeted out a stat that they've scored 10 or more runs earlier than like all but like 5 teams in Major League Baseball. They can really hit. And look, the problem with Wu for that start was that he just caught too much of the plate. A lot of times when a guy struggles early on, Ryan, it's because they can't find the strike zone. On the contrary, for Wu, he was just catching way too much of the plate, attacking the zone a little bit too much against a lineup that can just absolutely dominate fastballs. I'm seeing it happen right now with Bryce Miller. They are a really, really good baseball team. Marco Gonzalez is going to miss multiple starts with his forearm issue, so he's going to get that chance. He's going to get a chance to pitch in T-Mobile Park more often than he's going to pitch in Texas, again, against a loaded lineup. I can't overstate it how impressed I am with Texas's lineup. I still think that both of those guys, in particular Wu, have a chance for fantasy success this year.
So if the bright side, maybe it's a bright side, maybe it's a negative. If Wu is really good, we're going to be inundated with Ric Flair gifts on all over Twitter.
Thank you for reminding me of that. We don't need to do the Ric Flair, guys. That's fine if you want to do the Ric Flair. We've got to bring the Can You Woo 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 back. Come on. That is one of the all-time great R&B songs. Can You Woo 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 after every strikeout? Not Ric Flair. I'm sorry. I'm not a wrestling fan. It just was never ingrained in me. I watched Yokozuna get body slammed once on like an aircraft carrier, and that's all I can tell you about wrestling other than this is an interesting question for you, Ryan. What's a bigger carryover, Bruce Springsteen or wrestling with fantasy baseball writers?
I think it's gotta be Springsteen.
Still Springsteen. Okay.
Yeah.
I was saying Springsteen more for beat writers. For fantasy, I was thinking wrestling, but I think you're probably right. And I don't get it. I will go on the record right now. I don't like Bruce Springsteen. I don't. I think every song sounds very similar, and I don't get it. I think it's a New Jersey thing too, and I don't get that state either.
I will say, just don't adjust, by the way, if you're watching on YouTube. It does say 2023 fantasy baseball at the top, and Chris Crawford is recommending Dinelson Lamet. I mean, this is not 4 years too late. He is aware. Aww. He is aware of the year.
Yep.
I tease a little bit. I'm not interested in Dinelson Lamet, full disclosure.
Sure.
If he looks pretty good in the next couple starts, he will be on my radar at 4 road starts.
That's fair.
I'll give him that.
Fair.
I mean, you go back to the
to the pandemic season. We didn't. It's not that long ago.
Yeah.
He
dominant
was awfully good. He just has been awfully, awfully bad since then.
Yeah, and but, unhealthy too.
And unhealthy as well.
Yeah.
So transition from Denelson Lamet to Lucan Baker, as we round out our fab recommendations here. Yeah, $1 bid for Lucan Baker, I think, is just fine. He has been a Cardinals called him up today, by the way. Got a couple of hits in his first start at DH. I don't know how much he's ultimately going to play. They had a lefty on the mound, Rich Hill, today. Probably, I mean, they could stick Nolan Gorman at second base on a relatively full-time basis. Edmund Moore in the outfield. Edmund's going to have to play some center field for a bit. That's where he's made his last couple starts. So there could be some room for Lucan Baker in the DH spot. Obviously, he's not going to be playing first base. He's had an awesome year this year at AAA Memphis. I believe tied for the minor league lead with 18 home runs. He made some swing changes over the offseason. He's like already almost set a career high in walks already. So he's being more selective. And as Chris well knows, is Lucan Baker coming out of, I believe, TCU.
Correct.
He's a massive, massive human being.
He's huge.
With massive raw power. Mm-hmm. Can't really play the field. He's probably only a DH. But if he can continue to make enough contact and he is drawing walks at a rate he never has before, if he can keep that going, he's somewhat interesting. So when we're talking about the $0 to $1 bids, I think he's at least worth a flyer for a Cardinals lineup that is looking for a spark of late, frankly.
Yeah. Yeah. Makes sense. By the way, do you know what Lucan Baker's middle name is?
I have seen this before, but off the top of my head, I don't recall.
It's Grosvenor. Lucan Grosvenor right. Baker. And that's spelled Grosvenor. The S is silent.
I'm guessing there's some family ties in there somewhere.
There's got to be some family ties there, and good for him if there are, because that's a pretty big company. He's kind of the prototypical, almost reminds me, in part, he reminds me, by the way, Bryce Miller just gave up a home run. He almost reminds me of Kevin Mensch. Do you remember Kevin Mensch back in the day? That type of guy who can just absolutely mash left-handers. Not as athletic as Mensch, can't play the outfield, but he can be, you know, a nice little designated hitter, first base type that, you know, honestly, I think Juan Yepes is the better version of Baker, but I don't mind him giving him a shot, like seeing what he can do. Yepes is, I believe, Ryan, you can tell me more accurately, been a little bit of a disappointment so far in 2023.
They haven't given him much of a chance. It's been kind of a chance.
Yeah. There's a lot of weird things about your St. Louis baseball team this year, Ryan. I don't know if you've noticed that or not. But when they win the World Series, what a crazy DVD this absolutely will be. But yeah, I would recommend Baker as that like $1 ad, especially if you're looking for somebody who can give you some pop. Like if you're looking for some help in the homer category, would not shock me if he would contribute in that regard. That's going to do it for us. Thank you for tuning in to the RotoWire Fantasy Baseball Podcast, brought to you by Rival Fantasy. Go to rivalfantasy.com or download the app to begin playing a far better form of daily fantasy baseball. You can follow us on Twitter. I'm at Crawford_MILB. Ryan is at Ryan P. Boyer. And stay tuned, because we're going to have new episodes every single day of the week. Have a great weekend. It's actually over. I hope you enjoyed your weekend, I guess I should say. And we'll see you next time.